I want to start with a mental exercise. Picture a plot of dirt.
Okay.
Just a massive empty field of New Mexico scrub brush. You know, tumbleweeds, dust, maybe a lizard or two.
I know that visual well. And to most people, that looks like, well, nothing, just empty space.
Right. And if I told you we were going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about that dirt, you might be tempted to skip ahead. I mean, land development sounds like the driest topic on earth.
It can be.
But here's the hook. That empty plot of dirt is, right now, the center of a very high-stakes game for the future of the economy.
I'd say it's more than a game. It's an arms race. And, you know, to correct the premise just a little, to a developer or a site selector, that empty dirt isn't nothing. It's actually a liability until it's proven otherwise.
A liability.
Absolutely. Yeah. Until you know what's under it, what runs through it, who owns the rights to it, that dirt is just a bundle of very expensive questions.
Well, today we're talking about a program that's designed to answer those questions before the game even starts. We're diving into some breaking news from the New Mexico Economic Development Department, the EDD.
Right.
They just announced the state's first ever strategic development sites.
And this is a real pivot point for New Mexico's industrial strategy. It's a big deal.
It seems like it. They picked 5 sites across the entire state to launch this pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline that just, I mean, it jumped right out at me. And the reason we're doing this deep dive. Sandoval County secured 2 of those 5 spots.
2. Specifically, the city of Rio Rancho and the Pueblo of Santa Ana.
Which is just a massive win for the county. I mean, to capture 40% of the state's first ever inventory, it suggests they're doing something very, very different over there.
They are.
So our mission today is to unpack what strategic development site actually means, you know, beyond the press release jargon. We need to look at these 2 specific sites, City Center and Tamaya Ventures, and figure out why they made the cut.
Right. What's the secret sauce?
Exactly. And I really want to get into the strategy here because the Sandoval Economic Alliance, they aren't just selling land. It feels like they're selling a very specific narrative about certainty.
Certainty is the product.
Yeah.
The land is just the vehicle for it.
Okay, let's start with that concept. Shovel ready. I hear this term thrown around all the time. In my head, it means I can walk out there with a shovel and just start digging a hole.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, based on your liability comment, it's a lot more complex.
It's significantly more complex. In the professional world, shovel ready is a term that has been abused to the point of being almost meaningless. A mayor might say a site is shovel ready just because they mowed the grass.
Right.
But to a Fortune 500 company looking to build, say, a semiconductor plant or a huge logistics hub, shovel ready is a technical legal status.
So what are they actually looking for? What does that mean?
They're looking for the absence of risk. Think about it from the CEO's perspective.
Yeah.
You have $500 million you need to deploy. You find a great site in New Mexico, but then you find out there's no geotechnical report, so you don't actually know if the soil can support your heavy machinery.
Okay, that's a problem.
Or you find out the power lines you need are 3 miles away, and the local utility doesn't have the easement to connect them.
So that sounds like a delay.
It's a delay that costs millions. I mean, in a high interest rate environment, time is literally money. If a project gets delayed by 18 months because you suddenly have to do an archaeological survey you didn't know about.
18 months, wow.
Or you have to fight for a wetland permit, the internal rate of return on that project just crashes. You might as well not even build it.
So when the state designates these strategic development sites, they're essentially saying, hey, we've already done the scary stuff for you.
They're saying the risk has been retired. The state and its local partners have funded all the studies, the engineering, the environmental phase one assessments, the title work, the utility capacity analysis.
Do they just hand over a binder?
They hand the investor a binder that says, here's the answer to every question you could possibly ask. You can break ground in 60 days.
I saw a quote from Rob Black. He's the cabinet secretary for the EDD. He said, if we don't have shovel-ready locations, we lose those opportunities and the jobs that come with them. Sounded pretty urgent.
It is urgent. Yeah. Because that capital is globally mobile. New Mexico isn't just competing with Arizona or Texas anymore.
No.
It's competing with Vietnam, Mexico, Poland. If a site in Austin is truly ready, and I mean permits pulled, power on, and a site in Rio Rancho is a maybe, the capital goes to Austin every single time.
So this program is all about moving the timeline from, what, guesswork to guaranteed.
Speed of industry is the phrase they use.
Yeah,
and frankly, government rarely moves at the speed of industry. This program is a very real attempt to sync those 2 clocks.
Let's look at the actual sites, the hardware, so to speak. Sandoval County got two of these designations. The first one is in Rio Rancho. They're calling it the city center.
This is a really interesting choice because it kind of disrupts the traditional idea of an industrial park.
The specs say it's a 43-acre site with 20 contiguous developable acres. I want to pause on that word, contiguous. Why is that so important? Why do they make a big deal about the acres touching?
Because geometry dictates utility. You might own 50 acres on paper, but if there's a big arroyo running through the middle of it or a public road bisecting it, you can't build a secure single footprint campus.
Ah, so if I'm building a secure tech facility, I can't just have a public road running through my lobby.
Exactly. Or if you need a manufacturing floor that's a million square feet, you need a giant, flat, uninterrupted rectangle of earth. Contiguous means flexibility. It lets the architect dictate the design, not the topography.
Got it. And the location for this city center site is in the Central Business District. The vision is described as mixed use. To me, that usually means, you know, apartments over coffee shops. Is that what they're pitching here?
In a way, yes, but you should think of it as a workforce retention strategy.
Yeah.
The old model of economic development was, you know, putting a factory out in the desert 5 miles from anything.
Right. You drive there, you work, you drive home. Bleak.
It's bleak.
Yeah.
And it's really unappealing to modern talent. The city center concept is all about density. It's saying, put your headquarters here and your employees can walk to lunch. They can live in the apartments next door. They can get to the hospital nearby.
So it's an urban play.
It's an urbanization play, but in a suburban context. Rio Rancho has, for a long time, been a bedroom community. This site is an effort to create a gravitational center, a real downtown feel that can attract companies that need to hire those young, urban-minded professionals who don't want a long commute.
The report mentions it has existing municipal infrastructure. I'm assuming that means the pipes are literally already in the ground.
Pipes, power, fiber optic. And that's a massive, massive cost savings. Digging up established roads to lay new sewer lines is astronomically expensive.
Yeah.
And politically unpopular.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Plugging into a system that's already sitting right at the curb is a developer's dream. It creates a plug-and-play scenario.
Okay, so site one is the urban hub. Site two is totally different. This is the Tamaya Venture Site 5.
A completely different animal.
Yes. It's on the Pueblo of Santa Ana land. 35 total acres, with 29 of them contiguous. So a slightly larger usable footprint than the city center.
True, but the context is what really matters here. The city center site is all about density. The Tamaya site is about visibility and logistics.
It's described as being in a high-visibility corridor.
Which usually means highway frontage. In this case, it's almost certainly the Highway 550 corridor. If you're a logistics company or a commercial operator that needs to be seen by 50,000 cars a day,
you want to be on the artery.
You want to be on the artery. You don't want to be tucked away in a walkable downtown.
The edge they highlight for this site is the partnership with Tamaya Ventures and the Pueblo. The report calls it a distinctive cultural and economic landscape. Is that just marketing fluff, or is there a real business advantage to being on Pueblo land?
Oh, there's a very real, very tangible advantage. Two words. Sovereign immunity and a different governance structure.
Unpack that for me.
Okay, when you deal with a typical municipality, you're dealing with city councils, planning commissions, public hearings, potential.
And IMBYs.
Yeah, not in my backyard opposition.
Yeah.
It can be a slow bureaucratic grind. A Pueblo is a sovereign nation. Their decision-making process can be incredibly streamlined.
So if the Pueblo Council says, we want this business, it pretty much happens.
Generally, yes. The speed of decision-making on tribal land can be a massive competitive advantage. Plus, there are often different tax structures or federal incentives for investing in tribal zones. So when they say distinctive economic landscape, they aren't just talking about the view.
Yeah.
They're talking about a different regulatory environment that can be much more agile than a city or state.
That is a fascinating distinction. So Sandoval County basically has a portfolio now. If you want that urban walkable vibe, you go to City Center. If you want the high traffic sovereign partnership, you go to Tamaya.
That's just smart portfolio theory. They're not trying to jam every square peg into a round hole. They have different products for different buyers.
I want to shift gears to the how. We've talked about the land, but the source material from the Sandoval Economic Alliance, or SEA, includes something you don't usually see.
So you don't.
They laid out their five-line storytelling framework.
I saw that. It's unusual to see the magician show you the trick, so to speak.
They literally break down the narrative arc they use to sell these sites.
Yeah.
Step one is the desire, step two is the obstacle, and so on. Why do they need a story? We're talking about industrial zoning. Shouldn't the spreadsheet just speak for itself?
You would think so, but no. A site selection is an emotional decision made by humans who are terrified of making a multi-million dollar mistake. The spreadsheet provides the data, but the story provides the confidence.
Okay, so how does this framework work as a sales tool?
Look at step two, the obstacle. In their framework, the obstacle is red tape and hidden infrastructure gaps. They are explicitly naming the site selector's worst nightmare.
They're validating the fear.
Exactly. They're validating the fear that every single investor has about coming to a new place. The fear that I'm going to get stuck in bureaucratic hell.
And by naming that villain?
By naming the villain, they build trust. If I just show up and say, everything is great here, you don't believe me. But if I say, look, I know you were terrified of permitting delays, and here's exactly how we've solved that problem, now you're listening.
And then step three is the solution, which is the pre-certified site.
Right. They position this strategic site designation not as some perk, but as the weapon that kills the villain. It completely transforms the conversation from please buy our land to let us help you avoid a disaster.
That's a powerful psychological pivot.
It's really the only way to win when you're a smaller market. You can't compete on volume with a place like Texas. You have to compete on service and on risk mitigation. And that's what this story structure does. It frames Sandoval County as the guy that gets the hero to the finish line safely.
Speaking of safety and validation, let's talk about the grading process. The report emphasizes this wasn't just the county saying, trust us, it's fine.
Right.
They brought in a third party called Global Location Strategies, or GLS.
And this is probably the most critical piece of the whole puzzle. Without GLS, this is just a nice local press release.
Who are they?
GLS is one of the premier site selection consultancies in the world. These are the people who help the BMWs and the Intels of the world decide where to put their next billion-dollar factory. They know exactly what the global standard is.
So having them vet the site is like, what, getting a seal of approval?
It's more like an audit. It's a stress test. GLS came in and looked at these sites with the same ruthless scrutiny that a buyer would. They check the water pressure claims, the fiber latency, the soil composition assertions, everything.
So if GLS puts their stamp on it, that signals to the global market that the data is real.
It provides that crucial third-party credibility. If Sandoval County says a site is ready, a cynical investor might assume they're, you know, exaggerating. If GLS says the site meets the highest national standards, that investor takes the meeting. It removes the whole used car salesman vibe from the transaction.
And there's also money attached to this. The report says property owners of these sites are now eligible for state pre-development funding.
This is that skin in the game I mentioned earlier.
What does that funding actually buy?
It pays for all the invisible work. It might pay for a hydrology study to prove there's enough water for, say, a beverage plant. It might pay for a traffic impact analysis to show that 500 trucks a day won't deadlock the highway.
Things that can cost tens of thousands of dollars.
$50,000, $100,000 a pop. And usually, a developer has to pay for those before they even know if they have a buyer.
Right.
It's dead money.
So the state is stepping in.
The state is stepping in and saying, we'll help fund that work. They're lowering the barrier to entry. They're basically polishing the product so it shines on the shelf.
The Sandoval Economic Alliance also mentions that the goal here is attracting high-impact industries and quality careers. They seem to be really differentiating between jobs and careers.
That's a crucial distinction in modern economic development.
Mm.
You can fill 40 acres with a distribution center that employs 50 people at minimum wage. That's jobs.
Right.
Or you can fill it with a biotech manufacturing facility that employs 300 people at $80,000 a year. That's careers.
And the argument is that these vetted, shovel-ready sites attract the second kind.
The second kind of company, a high-tech, high-wage employer, has the most complex needs. They need redundant power. They need specific water quality. By doing this high-level vetting, Sandoval County is essentially fishing for a specific class of fish. They aren't just dragging a net for whatever swims by.
They're baiting the hook for advanced industry.
Because those are the companies that absolutely cannot afford the risk of a bad site. A warehouse can be built almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. A clean room for chip manufacturing cannot.
It's really impressive that Sandoval County landed two of these. It implies a certain level of, I don't know, aggression in their strategy.
Aggression and alignment. You don't get these designations by accident. It requires the landowner, the city or the pueblo, the utility companies, and the economic development org to all be singing from the same sheet of music.
It's a team effort.
It has to be. The fact that they got two suggests that the political will in Sandoval County is very unified right now.
The report uses the phrase, New Mexico is wide open for business. It's a bit of a cliche, but do you think this program actually gives that phrase some teeth?
I think it moves it from being just a slogan to being an actual policy. Wide open for business usually just means we have low taxes. But low taxes don't matter if you can't get a building permit.
Good point.
This program addresses the operational reality of business. It says, we're open, and we've actually cleared the path for you.
It's removing the friction.
Friction is the enemy of growth. This is a friction reduction program.
So to sum it up, we have the, what, two prime sites, one urban, one sovereign. We have the why mitigating risk in a very tough, high-interest world. And we have the how using third-party validation and a really smart narrative strategy to sell certainty.
That's the package.
Yep.
And it's a package that puts Sandoval County on a very short list for serious site selectors.
Okay, I want to zoom out for our final thought. We've been praising this program for removing the villain of red tape and hitting costs for these five specific sites.
Right.
But it does raise a somewhat uncomfortable question about, well, about the rest of the map.
I think I see where you're going with this.
New Mexico is the fifth largest state in the country by area. We have millions of acres of land, and we're celebrating five sites. If the only thing standing between an empty plot of dirt and a billion-dollar investment is this vetting process,
then why aren't we doing it everywhere?
Exactly. Or at least, what's the opportunity cost of not doing it? If getting five sites ready can change the trajectory of a local economy, what would happen if we unlocked 50?
That really is the trillion-dollar question, isn't it? It suggests that our scarcity of economic growth isn't due to a lack of potential, but maybe a lack of preparation.
A lack of preparation. That's the takeaway. The gold is there. We just haven't done the survey work to prove it yet.
And until we do, that capital will just keep flowing to the places that have.
Well, Sandoval County has certainly done their prep work. It'll be fascinating to see who actually breaks ground on these sites in the next year or two.
I'll be watching the city center site specifically. A project like that could really change the face of Rio Rancho.
We'll keep an eye on it. That's it for this deep dive into the business of dirt. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.